special thank you to Cliff this morning for bouncing around our scripture readings this reaching. So very, very grateful. Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your words. Pray now the same word that was inspired to be written in the first place by the Holy Spirit will teach it to our hearts. So give us ears to listen, minds to understand, and hearts to receive from you. And we do praise in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I suspect it won't have escaped your notice that at some point between January next year, there will be a general election. And if you haven't noticed, I'm really sorry to tell you the news now. Now, elections are rightly fought on a whole range of issues, and we'll be exploring those now over the next few months. But the ultimate issue historically tends to be that of the economy in some form or other. And that is expressed in different forms. And the latest form at the moment, I think, really, and it has been a theme for the last couple of years, is that whole thing of cost of living crisis. Now, I have no idea how that will play out. I have no clue whatsoever. However, the one thing I think we can agree on over these last couple of years, and I think it will be for the next foreseeable future, is that costs are rising in the household budget. I think that's fairly inarguable, really. Life is expensive, and many of us struggle to keep our financial heads above our heads above the financial water. How good it is then that today we will be thinking about a little bit about our giving. Now, I must admit up front that of all the subjects I have to talk about, and I'm obliged to through scripture to talk about, this is the one I worry about the most. Because because I could be legitimately accused of simply wanting to ensure that my stipend, my salary, if you like, and my house and all that stuff continue to be provided for. After all, the fact is, as Eleanor mentioned earlier, you will pay my stipend and my housing costs through the voluntary parish share that we aspire to pay to the diocese. I'm under no illusions about that whatsoever. And there is a danger that in trying to sort of talk to you about giving, you actually end up thinking that you don't get value for money. And I'm almost conscious of that, really. And if that is the case, feel free to see the church wardens. Both of them are now here. Write to them, speak to them afterwards, and hopefully they'll keep it quiet. However, in more general terms, we do need to accept that things and people do need to be paid for. It's a fact of life in our household budget. It's a fact of life in church life. If we're serious about wanting the people in our community, whether it be in the parish or just be orbit beyond in Chelmsford, to love the Lord Jesus and to know the Lord Jesus, then we have a responsibility to resource that mission properly. And that means giving of our gifts, our time, and our money. And I know we will be focusing on money specifically today, but stewardship covers a range of things, not just financial. It covers time, effort, and gifts, and so on. And so we need to actually think it more holistically than we actually are. So I do apologise for that, but, you know, time is limited. But just as important, perhaps more important than any of that in some respects, is that the Bible doesn't stop talking about money and the use of money. And that's sort of reflected in our Bible readings from Proverbs and Philippians that Cliff read. But actually, it goes wider than that. And despite the cost of living crisis that we are facing in various forms, and despite my personal sensitivities, which are great, we are still compelled to listen and to obey what Scripture teaches us. I am compelled to teach what Scripture teaches us as far as I can. However, we need to start with a proviso. We need to say up front that when we talk about our income, how much of our income we are going to give away, actually we've got things the wrong way around, haven't we? Because it's not our money in the first place. Yes, our checkbooks, our bank accounts, our share certificates, credit and debit cards, all that stuff may have our name on the front, but it's only because God allows us to. It's convenient to him. Because they are his checkbooks, they are his bank accounts, they are his share certificates, his credit and debit cards. They're all simply on loan to us. We have care of them, if you like. And there's nothing that we possess that God cannot simply say, mine, if he so wished. The opening lines of Psalm 24 say this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Everything has been created by God. Everything is owned or ruled by God. It's all his, not ours. We've been asked to rule the earth for him, on his behalf, if you like, as sort of prince regents, acting on his behalf. And that does include the way that we use his money, his financial resource. Because so often we ask the wrong questions, don't we? We should not be asking him so much, asking how much should I give? Well, that is a question we do need to think about. But rather, how much of God's money do I dare to keep? Not what percentage of my income must I give? But how much do I dare spend of myself? We look at it the other way around. All our money is God's already and has been loaned to us as his stewards to use wisely. In a world of immense need, in a community that so desperately needs to meet with the living Jesus and under the authority of and live under the authority of King Jesus, the issue of stewardship is not shall I give generously, really, although we'll talk about that, but rather, how much of God's trust fund dare I take for my own private use? Now, don't do that, say any of that to make you feel guilty in any way. That's not at least not deliberately. You can feel guilty if you like, but I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. But it is right to put our thinking into proper context, isn't it? Because there are no no-go areas for God's lordship. And this is further supported when we look at the Proverbs that we read. I'm just going to go one of them. Honour the Lord with your wealth, it says, with the first fruits of all your crops. Our giving is to our first fruits. Our giving is to be the first thing that we use for our money, our offering to God. He has first call on what we earn. Now, this shouldn't be a source of resentment to us. In our giving, we are celebrating God and all that he has done for us in delivering and providing for us. It is a response to his astonishing, limitless generosity. We're only called to be generous now because he was generous in the first place. Everything we have, large or small, is due to God's blessing. Everything we have is his, not ours. Our wealth, and I do that in inverted commas, belongs to him for his mission to the world. It does not belong to us and for our ends. Now, let's be clear about something. That's not to say that everything we have is to be given away. Not in that sense. We must ensure that we live within our responsibilities that we have and that the responsibilities that we have been given. So we have responsibilities, for example, to care for our extended families. There's no question about that. We have responsibilities on our futures. If you do pensions, that's actually a good thing to organise what's going on. So we're not seeking to be a financial drag on others if we are so able. And I do say that wisely. But within all of that picture, we have a responsibility towards God and his mission on earth. With all these competing priorities, we need to be actively praying about our income, our financial pressures, and the needs of giving regularly. And that looks different for different people. That's why you can't be an absolute about this thing. And that does apply whether we're thinking about this for the very, very first time, or if we've been thinking about it for many, many years and haven't reviewed it for a while. And may I mention in passing that it also applies whether we work full-time or are just starting out, whether we are retired or are students. Now is the time to be prayerfully considering our generous giving. What does that look like? It needs to be under constant review. To help us think a little bit further about the principles that lie behind giving, let's look at the relationship, shall we, between the Philippian church and the Apostle Paul. When we read Paul's letter, we find it full of emotion and mutual love and support. But ultimately, we find that the letter comes back to one basic fundamental principle, that of partnership in the gospel. At the very beginning of the letter, Paul writes this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the moment Paul arrives in Europe and establishes a church in the city of Philippi, a partnership in the gospel has begun. Yeah, amazing. And when we think about this partnership, we need to think about, keep in mind that it's effectively a business partnership. A business partnership, as I understand it, is something founded with two groups of people working together to achieve a particular goal. And in this case, that goal is the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And it seems to me that a business arrangement, there are two elements: the work to be done and the financial resources and other resources to enable that work to be achieved. And like any good business relationship, both parties have different roles to perform. In this case, Paul is at the sharp end doing the work on the ground, and whilst the Philippians are providing the finance to enable that work to continue. And we can see from our passage that it worked. From the very moment Paul left Philippi to go on his travels, the Philippians took an active part in the partnership and took their side of the bargain, if you like, seriously. And they began to give. And they were unique. Verse 15, says this: when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. That's a remarkable statement to make about a new church. God's grace was so apparent in their lives, so great, that they just couldn't help themselves. They had to give. They were compelled to give, if you like, generously in response. It is almost as if they recognized they had a duty to perform, not out of duty, but out of joy. This is our first principle then. We should give generously and receive joyfully. We find this principle expressed elsewhere in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes about the Macedonian churches, and he says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up. It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? Welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. Overwhelming joy and rich generosity. And then look how excited Paul was to receive the gifts from the Philippians. Verse 10, he writes this: I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Another way of putting it might be like this, and I don't know where I got this from really. I've been having a great celebration in the Lord because your concern for me has again burst into flower. It's marvellous. And I think we need to acknowledge in our generous giving, there is a huge impact on the person who receives the money. Let me ask a question. How do you feel when you receive a gift? For those of us who do this sort of thing, what is it like if you receive birthday or Christmas money to spend on yourself? It's like the guilt has been removed. The only responsibility you have is to spend it on something that is important or is special to you, that will give you joy. And it's the same with our giving here. Whatever we give is to be given, spent wisely. That's why we budget so carefully. But it's also to be received in great joy. It's giving that's freely given in the service of God's kingdom. Better than any birthday, better than Christmas. This is something even more wonderful, even more worthy of celebration. Our second principle for you is the consistency of the Philippians' giving. Verse 16 tells us, "You sent me aid again and again when I was in need." Not just once and then forgotten. No, this was a church totally committed to giving to the work of the gospel. This was a church that made every effort to maintain their part of the partnership, to ensure that Paul's work would continue. In short, they gave regularly. But why do we need to give regularly? What is so important? Simply so the gospel can move forward regularly, isn't it? Keep going. It was the same in the Old Testament days. A tenth of the household income, the tithe, was given to the Levites so they could serve God. So in Numbers we read this: "The Lord said to Aaron, 'You will have no inheritance in our land, in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving the tent of meeting.'" There was a sort of business arrangement going on there, if you like. We can get distracted simply by the need to cover costs, to the nuts and bolts of paying the parish share, and lose the real reason for our giving. Yes, budgets are important. And they're a very important part of stewardship, let alone all the legal stuff that we have to deal with. But ultimately, those budgets are simply tools to enable us to reach out to our local community again and again. You know, it allows us to see where we're at, if you like. And that's why giving a tithe or a tenth of our income is such a good guideline to us. For it enables that consistency of giving. It gives us a regular benchmark from which we can measure ourselves. Plus, it enables us to ensure that generosity, which is the key principle, is embedded in our giving. For some of us, a tenth will be too much, way too much. We have other responsibilities, in fact, we have family responsibilities and so on. That's right. Therefore, if not a tenth, what does that look like for you? But for others, it won't make a blind bit of difference. No difference whatsoever. You could afford to take a tenth and go, okay, fine. In which case, what does it look like for you? However it is used, think about the tithe as the first port of call for consistent giving, and then pray about it and go, yeah, but I've got family members and so on. Leave that with you, but you need to be praying about it. Third principle, if we look at verse 19, we can see that it should be sacrificial. Paul writes, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now, we do have to read between the lines a little bit here, I'm afraid. There is an implication behind the fact that Paul is giving the Philippians reassurance that God will meet all their needs. They will be concerned for where the money to support themselves will come from. And to be fair, that's a fair question. If you haven't got a great deal of money, then it can produce a sharp intake of breath when someone says to you, "You must give generously." I know, I understand. Ultimately, giving generously, however, teaches us the real nitty-gritty of trust in God. If we don't give sacrificially, it is because we think we cannot live without it. The consequence is that we are probably not trusting God in a way that fully honours him, fully relies on him, and his incredible promises of faithfulness to us in all circumstances. Sacrificial giving is a demonstration that we believe God's promise to add what we need if we seek him first. And the fourth and final principle I'm going to mention this morning is at verse 18. The gifts they sent to Paul are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. I think that's a wonderful thought. Our plea giving in its own right pleases God. Our giving is seen by God as an expression of joy and of gratitude. We need to be clear about something again. I think I said it before. God does not need our money. He cannot be enriched by us. He has no needs that our possessions can satisfy. He has limitless depth to his pockets. But he can be honoured by the way we treat others in his name, by special acts which celebrate his generosity, and by our willingness to trust him to supply all our needs that we give. We can honour him in those things. Now, as I come to finish, I have gone along, I do apologise, I have to say there are plenty more other things that could be said this morning. So, to help with that, I have a sheet. This will be given to all of you, or each family. There's plenty. We always copy more, and I'll send it around on email as well later in the week. Stewardship questions to consider. I've ripped this off. I didn't write this. I've amended it slightly. I don't apologise because it's good. And it outlines a little bit more carefully what I'm trying to think about when we're thinking about giving. Please take one home with you this morning and use it as you prayerfully consider your giving. And also, there's not many sheets at the back of forms at the back, but we can get some of those as well. So have a word, and we can get some more copied of that. This morning, we've looked at four general principles that lay behind our giving. First, we are to give generously and receive joyfully. Second, we are to give consistently. Third, we are to be sacrificial in our giving. And fourth, with the right heart attitude, our giving is an offering pleasing to God. So going back to Proverbs, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us all seek to honour the Lord with our wealth. Amen. Amen. Let's just be quiet for a moment. There's a lot of stuff to take in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your astonishing generosity to us, for our rescue through Lord Jesus, for your amazing provision to us of this world, and for the amazing provision to us as a church family over many, many years. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we continue to struggle with how we should deal with our household finances. Help us to be wise and seek after you as we review our regular giving, or as we consider giving for the first time. Heavenly Father, help us to be generous. Help us to be joyful. Help us to be consistent. Help us to be sacrificial. And help us to have the right heart attitude as we consider your wealth and not ours. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
to stand and we'll declare our faith. We'll say the creed together. We say, I believe in God, the Father of all.